It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And joining us this morning, Cecil Harvell and Andrew Foster. Of course, we speak to Andrew on Thursdays here and as well with Life and Taxes. And so, gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Lockwood. All right. Yes, I'm here this morning, and Andrew is here with me. Just so our listeners can keep Wes in their thoughts and prayers, Wes is going to have some back surgery, a typical, low back lumbar disc, fusion, if you will, on Thursday. So all is fine, but we are going to have a little back surgery.
I didn't realize law was a contact sport. I'm a contact profession.
When you sit at your desk and you're 6'5", which is what Wes is, and you sit there all day long, we might have to rearrange Wes's office so that he's in a reclining position a little bit more.
Or better yet, standing up.
But he's doing great. It's just that he and his special wife and special children are going to have to endure a little surgery on Thursday, and he'll be back home Friday, actually, the very next day, and then, a week or so of recovery. So things are good. This morning, Lockwood, Andrew is here with me, and Andrew, of course, assists at the law firm in the area of taxation, as we know from his program on Thursday, and also, of course, in the area of estate settlement, if you will, helping families get everything resolved after they've lost a loved one. But today, Lockwood, I want to lay the foundation for something that I've spoken about so many times on the program. There are two things I think we speak about on the program routinely. One is that durable power of attorney.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the other topic is this topic, which is time on death, payable on death, beneficiary designations, joint accounts with right of survivorship, the issue of basically beneficiary designations. And the background on this begins, Lockwood, by explaining that we all have, hopefully, a last will and testament.
Mm-hmm.
And our last will and testament sets forward how we want our estate to be distributed upon our death.
Mm-hmm.
And many times in what percentages. This is particularly true with moms and dads after the first to die to the children and or grandchildren. Your mom will say everything to dad, of course, but if dad's not living, then equally amongst the three children or the two children or maybe a third and a third to the two children and the third to the grandchildren, something of that nature in percentages. And we all have this written in our last will and testament. What we have to realize is that in this, quote, day and age that we are operating in, it used not to be this way. That's why I say that. This modern place that we are in our financial world. All of our brokerage accounts, our bank accounts, our stock accounts, which are now, not many times stock certificates. They're registered in computer form with the shareholder services division of that company. All of these various financial entities have available to their customers forms to sign that say, upon my death, my account goes time on death to the following person or persons, or is payable on death to the following persons or persons. And if these forms are inconsistent with the last will and testament, then we have a real problem.
Oh, I see it coming right now.
We real problem at that point. And we are just seeing so much of this, which is why I keep bringing it up on the program. I also have posted to Harvell and Collins' website and our Facebook website a CNN, if you will, interview with a young lady who was significantly affected by this very thing. So, hey, how about that for an introduction?
Well, okay, so one of the things, and this goes back to something you just said, the law is established based on the traditional way of doing business. And so now we are no longer doing it traditionally. You mentioned a moment ago the stock certificates. We don't hold those anymore. And we just very casually sign our name to a document, and the company to whom we're signing it makes some assumptions. And suddenly, Andrew, we're stuck with inconsistencies.
Exactly. You know, Lockwood, it's so easy to fill out a change of beneficiary form.
Yeah.
Or it's so easy to add someone to your bank account as joint with right of survivorship and not understand what that truly means. And, you know, there's a reason why it's called an estate plan, because everything must be in congruity. You must have a plan that encompasses everything. And just one simple change of a beneficiary or one simple adding someone to an account that's joint with right of survivorship can completely change everything. You know, if you have a really one substantial asset, such as a brokerage account or an IRA or something of that nature that is the majority of the estate, and that has, you know, one individual on it, maybe you intend to have three individuals in your will, split everything equally, it really throws everything off.
And let's go to this with a corporation. 401k, IRA, things of this nature. You set that up. You're working as an employee. The employer says, here, we're changing from this program to that program. Just sign the documentation. Now, the employer hasn't paid any attention. Different companies, maybe different wording in those documents. The employer is not any wiser. The employee, of course, is trusting that everything is same. Guess what? So this is one of those situations where you can create conflict unintentionally.
Absolutely. And what we hear, Lockwood, from our clients, who of course always have the best intentions, is that, well, I put my son on the account, or the broker said I should do this, or the banker said I should do this, or I thought I should do this, so that they have access to my money. Okay. This is just almost always what we hear, Lockwood. The elderly person or the getting older person, which we're all in that category, by the way.
I'm not.
Want a sense of security. And the sense of security is that if my daughter is on the account or my son is on the account, then he can pay my bills. She can pay my bills. Well, Lockwood, that's the duty of the agent under the power of attorney. A well-drafted power of attorney allows your son or daughter to get to any of your assets, whatever form they happen to be in, and to be able to, of course, pay all of your bills. They do not need to be registered as an owner on your account or as the total beneficiary of a POD or TOD or a payable on death is POD, time on death is TOD.
Gotcha.
Okay. They do not have to be registered in that format to be able to pay your bills. The power of attorney allows them to pay your bills. As to adding them to the account, which we sometimes see on CDs, large money market accounts, even stock accounts, where, you know, client says, gosh, but I thought my son needed to be on the account so he would have access to the account. Let's keep in mind that when you add a person to your account as an owner, your account now is subject to the twists and turns of their life. Suppose they, as an owner of the account, have, you know, a liability. Or suppose they die and their name is on your account. You've registered it with your son or daughter. So you have sometimes made your account subject to the twists and turns of their life.
And then on top of that, since we're talking, we've got Andrew here, it becomes an issue for unintentionally, my mother puts me on her account.
Right.
And she dies, suddenly I have a tax situation that I didn't anticipate, or vice versa. I mean, so there's not only the issue of the estate planning, is there a problem also with taxes as a result of that?
There can be, Lockwood. Most of the time, tax issues, luckily, are kind of okay with these joint with rider survivorship accounts, because the way that they're set up, and this is one thing Cecil, I think, was hinting at, is that once you put someone on your account as a joint owner, they have full access to the money. You have full access to the money. And so that is kind of the way that it's set up. So even when it goes over to you, it's still an asset that's includable for estate tax purposes. Okay. And you don't have any tax consequences as a result of taking that account as joint with rider survivorship. But one thing that, you know, is important is that some people are confused and think that their will sometimes supersedes or somehow intervenes and takes priority over these designations that are on these accounts. But in fact, it's the exact opposite, Lockwood. These account designations are what control, and it's very difficult to challenge anything through litigation to have these overturned.
All right, we're talking with Cecil Harvell and Andrew Foster this morning on Let's Talk Legal here on Coastal Daybreak, of course, brought to you by the attorneys, Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, and the right advice at the right time. If you'd like to get more information, of course, you can call in, by the way. We've got some time this morning, 800-818-2255. Or you can call their office directly, 726-9050. That's Harvell and Collins. We're talking with Cecil Harvell and Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins, and we're talking Let's Talk Legal. And we're talking the vagaries of signing papers and the fact that not all the papers are congruous. They are not in concert. They don't work together.
No, they don't. And so at our office, every single day, what we're doing is we are dovetailing or coordinating the estate planning document with the designation beneficiaries. Okay, that is critical that be done, and that there be questions about bank accounts. Now, you know, if we're talking about, you know, a money market account with $12,000 in it, I know that's a lot of money to a lot of people, but a normal amount of money in just a little savings account with one child, maybe that might be okay. But I mean, we're seeing account registrations, you know, $100,000, you know, many hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions of dollars, all registered in the name of the one child, when that's not the intention. Lockwood, the other reason that these forms are being pushed, if you will, is because the clients are told that the first reason was, well, I thought my son or daughter needed to be on the account to pay my bills. Well, that's the power of attorney.
Gotcha.
The second most common reason is, well, I understand that it will avoid probate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we need to talk about that a minute or two, because, you know, avoiding probate in the state of North Carolina is almost always not a priority. I know that surprises a lot of our listeners, but probate in North Carolina is very simple. It is seamless. Many times it does not require the use of a lawyer. There are no local probate taxes, if you will. There is some probate, a court fee, if you will, but that maxes out at a reasonable amount based on the value of the estate.
Gotcha.
Usually, many times it is only a few hundred dollars, something of that nature. What we're hearing is that, you know, in Florida, California, New York, New Jersey, Michigan, in those states, there is not only, of course, the estate subject to taxation, but the estate is subject to probate cost.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have those kinds of probate cost in North Carolina. And our clerks of court are there to assist the public in guiding them. They can't give legal advice, and of course they're very good at drawing the line. But the bottom line is that we are not in an onerous or burdensome probate state.
Gotcha.
And to name your account time on death or payable on death just to avoid probate in the state of North Carolina is really, you know, what's the famous phrase, Andrew? I mean, that's the tail wagging the dog. I mean, you know, that is not, you've created more problems, more than likely, by doing that than just simply allowing your assets to pass through, you know, a well-drafted, you know, plan, as you will, and to allow them to go on through probate.
The other aspect of this is that in the process, you're not directing where the money should go and assets, right? And that's, again, the great loss, the individual who has died, has passed on. But what's happened is all this trailing paperwork, which creates a problem for the survivors.
And Andrew, during the break, mentioned the one that you mentioned during the break.
Well, one of the, you know, downsides is a lot of times we have people in the office and they don't even know who these beneficiaries are. For instance, had someone in recently and, you know, we go through and start listing out his assets. He was so proud of his car, vintage car. And then we get down to, okay, well, you've got this life insurance policy. Who's the beneficiary? And he said, I don't know. And he has, an IRA. I said, who's the beneficiary? He said, I don't know. And I knew that based upon the facts he'd given me earlier during the meeting that he was divorced. And my mind began, alarm bells began going off my mind, because Lockwood, one of the things is that even if you're divorced, and you have your spouse in your will, so to speak, well, they don't get to take under North Carolina law. If your spouse, ex-spouse is named as your executor, they can't be your executor under North Carolina law. But if they are a designated beneficiary on an IRA, if there's a designated beneficiary on a life insurance policy, an ex-spouse, they would take. And so I'm in a meeting with this guy whose common answer is, I don't know. And I said, well, I got a homework assignment for you. I was like, go and figure out who these beneficiaries are. And when you come to sign your estate planning documents, when we set you up on your will, then we'll make those changes in accordance with the will, exactly as Cecil says. So everything dovetails.
And that's the factual scenario for the young girl in the CNN interview. Those were the facts, in that, you know, her father, you know, she and her brothers and sisters had taken care of her father. He had been divorced for many years to a second spouse or so, but the beneficiary designation or the time on death account, the designations did not get changed.
You know, and by the way, I want to make mention of this. We've talked about this in the past. A lot of people think, well, they're young, they don't have enough assets, but that is really when I think things need to begin to get clear, especially if they have children. We'll chat about that as well in just a moment here with Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. You're listening to, of course, Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. The right advice, the right time. Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. All right, wrapping things up here this morning with Cecil Harvell and Andrew Foster, and we're talking with them about the whole issue of estate planning. It's imperative that we bring all the information to the – well, I say bring all the information. We've got to bring it all together, right, Cecil?
We do, and we're able to get to the bottom of this, and we follow it very, very closely with our clients. You know, folks are saying – gosh, you know, can't I just, you know, make out a last will and testament with a form or a manual or something of that nature? Let's keep in mind that none of these issues are then going to get addressed, you know. Not that many I guess there are a lot of people doing that, but there are a lot of people coming to see lawyers as well, thank goodness. And the point is that the lawyer will guide you through making sure that your financial life is coordinated with your estate documents.
So many things have changed. You said this at the beginning.
Correct.
It's a different environment out there. So many things have changed, and we've signed documents. We've signed them at our various places of employment. We have trailing IRAs from other employments that we had. We've forgotten about it. We've got old life insurance policies. We've forgotten about it. We may even have old bank accounts, which modicum amount of money in it, but we've forgotten about it.
Correct.
That's right. And the will and testament does not supersede a contractual arrangement I've made on my IRA.
Mm-hmm. So, just to conclude, if you are designating time on death or payable on death or joint with right of survivorship to avoid probate, then let's visit that for a little while, because we might be creating more issues than solving, by doing that in the state of North Carolina. And then secondly, if you're doing it because of a power of attorney or the need for someone to pay your bills, then of course keep in mind that the power of attorney is going to control and is there for the purpose of giving your loved one access to your accounts. So the real question then evolves, why have you put your stock account or your large CD or whatever the asset might be, time on death or payable on death, to beneficiaries? Keep in mind that these assets are then not subject to the administration of the estate, so they're not there to pay for the funeral. They're not there to pay for, upkeep of the home until such time as the home can be sold,
right.
The taxes and the insurance. We have so many files like this where what bit of asset was available to the estate went out time on death or payable on death or joint with right of survivorship to the three children. The one daughter, who is, just doing a great job,
mm-hmm.
has no money in the estate to maintain mama's house,
right.
The taxes and insurance, the light bill, until such time as she can get it sold. And so she's having to turn to her siblings and say, well, we need to ante up for this.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
All right.
There we go.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Their phone number, by the way, 726-9050.